Welcome to Kanata Life Center, where God is truly at work. And we just stand in awe of who he is this morning from the waters of baptism. Wasn't that amazing? That baptism service. Oh, my goodness. Every one of those lives, as you see them today, tell them congratulations, encourage them. If you've never been water baptized before, and it was a part of Liz's story as well, but I encourage you, tomorrow our next water baptism service will go live on the website, and so you don't have to wait to hear when it's coming up in our announcements. You can actually go onto the website and sign up for our next water baptism at any time. And I just encourage you to ask questions of our candidates today. There is nothing special about that water until we ask Jesus to be present in it with us. And from that moment forward, I don't know, something takes place. God never fails to show up in those areas that he has ordained. In salvation, he's always faithful. In the waters of baptism, he is so present. When we share at the communion table, whoo, God is there. Church, God is here this morning with us. So let me, although you've seen me many times, I don't think I've ever told you who I am. So let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mitch. I'm the campus pastor here in Kanata. And I just want to thank each of you for being here today, participating in what it is that God had planned today. The church is not open until each of you arrive. And so welcome, church, to this incredible service. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. We are reading from the book of Ruth this morning as we enter into week 3 of season 5 of HeartStrong. So if you're just joining us today, we are going to move very quickly through just covering just bits and pieces of the story of Ruth. But we as a church are on a 3-year journey through Scripture. And so last September, not the one that just passed, the one before that, we started in the New Testament. We read all the way through the New Testament into the book of Revelation. Then we jumped into Genesis, and now we have just finished Judges, and we are entering into the book of Ruth, and 1 Samuel's coming up, and Kings and Chronicles. It is an exciting, exciting time. One last thing before we dive in. I know many of you have asked, and we just honor and thank Pastor Sam and Pastor Kayla and Lily for the amount of times that we've had them up here on stage. It's like 80, right? In the last little bit, we're just like, we love them, we love them. But this is officially Pastor Sam's last Sunday with us. So he is going to be drumming, I think, next Sunday in Orleans. And they're already starting to set up his office space as discipleship pastor in Orleans. And so on behalf of myself and the rest of the staff, we just speak life over that incredible family, everything that God is going to use them for in the heartbeat of Life Center. It is going to be incredible. And we're not losing Pastor Sam or Pastor Kayla. We will have them back. They will be here. They'll be present. You'll see them through the week as we continue to engage. Pastor Sam is simply moving in his call to our Orleans campus, and we couldn't be more excited for him. Church, before we dive into the book of Ruth, let us pray. God, I thank you for Liz and her testimony. I thank you for the story, Lord Jesus, of you being so present in each and every season. Thank you, Lord God, for the timeline, for the opportunity that she has to trace where you have been present in all of it. And I know, Lord, if we had more time today, that there is so much more in those gaps. There's so much more in those years of you trying to catch Liz's attention, of you speaking into darkness, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray over each and every one of us today, God, that we would hear your voice. Lord, have your way in this place. May we be attentive and may we honor every moment that we have with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I love Liz's story because it just continues to share with us that what God is up to, no one can stop. And when God catches a hold of your life, he changes it forever. The book of Ruth is extremely important. It's a beautiful story found in the midst of chaos that's happening in and amongst the Israelites. The Israelites are doing well, then they're not doing well. They're taken into captivity. They suffer oppression. God sends judges. God brings them back. The Israelites then dedicate dedicate their lives to God. There's good seasons, there's hard seasons, and right in the midst of all of it, as this nation is being established, is the book of Ruth. And so last week, we spoke on one of those judges, the story of Samson, and we used his life to really highlight the themes of purpose and gifting in each and every one of us. And so we speak that into reality this morning in the waters of baptism. Every one of those stories that were here present on the stage, starting with little Faith and her cutest smile ever. Did you guys see that? Right? Like, melt your heart, my goodness. But every one of those stories, there is unique gifting and there's unique purpose that God has placed in each of them. And as they are beginning this journey to unlock why God has placed them here for such a time as this, let it be an encouragement to us as well. Maybe it was 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Maybe it was just recently that you entered the waters of baptism. Let us be reminded today that God has called us. He's placed his spirit inside of us. He sent his son before us so that a world that doesn't know him yet could see clearly the light of the holy Jesus. Now, Ruth is a different study as we enter into this unique and intimate story of family. In Ruth, each character that we encounter in the chapters will exemplify themes of loyalty and profound insight into this idea that the heart and the covenant of love is God inviting each of us to reflect on the transformative power of his hand at work on faith and relationships. Before we dive into the book of Ruth, just to set the stage, the book of Ruth really exemplifies this redemptive arc that God has that we even heard about in Liz's story this morning, and that happens typically in three parts: in crisis, complication, and then resolution. God will meet us in the moment of crisis. He will be at work in that heartbeat of resolution, of complication, and then he will bring things to a glorious resolution. And we're going to go back to some of the stories that we've heard today to use as our examples, because isn't it amazing how God weaves everything together? And so crisis usually exemplifies our choices or other choices or life circumstances that are beyond our control that cause us to take a break and pause. Something that happens, something that takes place either by our own doing, someone else's doing, or just simply because sometimes life sucks. Yeah. Right? I see those hands raised. You're like, amen, that's true. It's just the reality. And as Christians, I don't think it does us any benefit to try to gloss it over. In fact, I think it's counterproductive in Christianity to pretend that the people in this room have perfect lives. We serve a perfect Savior, but our lives are not perfect. In fact, as you read through the Gospels, which we've already done in HeartStrong, Jesus would tell us to anticipate hardship. The disciples, as they followed Jesus, had a much more difficult time as they followed the Savior of the world than they did when they were simply getting up every day and going to work in their boats and coming back in. See, we have been set apart from the world that we live in because of our great Savior, who suffered and died on the cross, was risen again on the third day, and is now wholly seated at the right hand of God. We have been set apart because of what Jesus has done, but the Bible tells us that the earth is still yearning, is still moaning, is still awaiting its full redemption. And so is God perfect? 100%. Is our Savior trustworthy? Oh, my goodness. To his core. But does that make us perfect? Does that make every day that we walk completely and totally blessed in Jesus' name, but not always in circumstance? Come on. And so crisis is a regular part of humanity. God has pulled us from the suffering. God has pulled us from the weight of sin, which is death. But we still are here screaming out on behalf of Jesus and shining his light to a world that doesn't know him yet. And so, church, I want to encourage you today that God can be found in the midst of your story. If you know him well, when crisis comes, as Liz has encouraged us, hold on to his hand. But for those that may not know him, there are times where crisis will actually happen in our lives where it will be the most beautiful place for God to meet us, where suddenly life begins to slow, life begins to stop, especially here in North America, where we can buy the false lie that maybe we can actually handle it all on our own. So in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, you will see crisis. In chapters 2 and 3, there'll be complication, things that arise, which you look at the story, you say, I don't know exactly where this is going to go. And then in chapter 4, finally, the resolution that God will bring about. So let's read Ruth chapter 1 to 5 today. Ruth chapter 1, 1 to 5. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. That's a cool name. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech and the husband of Naomi died, and she was left with her two sons. These sons took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years until both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. We enter into this story. Naomi is a Jewish widow and a grieving parent who has now lost her husband and both of her sons. She's also not residing in her homeland. Now, she has two daughter-in-laws that remain, but neither are Jewish. Both are actually of the land that they currently reside in Moab. And this crisis begins to raise itself in her story. As you continue to read through the book of Ruth on your own, you see that she's challenged with this idea of saying, listen, I don't know why I'm still here. God sent me into this land and my life was full, but now everything has been emptied. We mentioned already that crisis can appear in many different ways, whether it's a choice of our own or a choice of someone else. In this particular instance, it's actual loss that enters into Naomi's story. It's not life. It's life not looking the way that she thought it was going to go. And so now these three women, Naomi, every time I read that, I want to say Oprah, right? But it's not. It's Orpah. Orpah, there we go. And Ruth, or if I say Oprah, just go with me, all right? Okay. And Ruth are grieving in Moab, and as women in society, they are remarkably vulnerable in this place. But God, who is greater than society, come on, is at work. Now, Naomi enters into this crisis situation. She has two options, and Liz challenged us so well. The first crisis option that you can be is to return to what you know to be true about God, to stand on the word of God no matter how big the waves are, no matter how strong the wind is, and say, God, I don't know what this is, but I know who you are. An unwise crisis-based decision is to instead to run to what you think is now true about God. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. Our God never changes. He is who he is, who he's always said that he was. He is today, and he will be the same tomorrow. He is ever loving. He is ever gracious. He is merciful, and he is with you. He has sent his son to die in your place. You are loved completely. Whatever it is that the enemy wants to scream into those moments of frustration, whatever the enemy wants to scream in those moments of grieving and loss, whatever the enemy wants to scream into those moments of crisis, may your mind and may your heart be set to decide, but my God is who he says that he is. And so I will choose, because it's a choice, isn't it? Come on. I will choose to stand on the word of God. Church, there are times in your life, as with Naomi, her husband is gone, her two sons are gone, these people that she held so dearly in her life, it is easy to look and to say, well, maybe my God isn't who I thought that he was. But your circumstances do not determine who God is. He is who he is, full stop, period, end of sentence. And remaining in faith with God, although it can be challenging, although it can be hard, will be the best decision that you will make, because after those moments of crisis, typically come the complications. Hello? And those are the moments where we actually need God. If we walk into those things on our own strength, this is where things begin to snowball. So Naomi decides that instead of remaining in Moab, she is going to return to her homeland of Bethlehem. But she does not wish the same thing on her daughters. These daughters are from this place, and so why not be it better for them if they stay? Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 to 18 says this. And she said to Ruth, See, your sister-in-law, not Oprah, I was about to say opera. Wow. Wow. I was like, I got it. It's not Oprah, it's Oprah. And then someone said, that's not it either. Okay. Orpah. See, your sister Orpah, your sister-in-law, has already gone back to her people and to her gods. So why don't you also return after your sister-in-law? But Ruth stood firm. She turned to Naomi and said this, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you." Church, I just want to challenge you right now in this moment. Highlight this. And instead of Ruth turning to Naomi, may we be able to speak this fully into the face of our Lord. "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more so also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Naomi is in a crisis moment, making a decision to return to her homeland of Bethlehem. She turns to her daughter-in-law, and one of them returns to their land of heritage, returns to worshiping other gods than the God that Naomi and her husband would have introduced her to. She turns to Ruth and is about to do the same, but Ruth says, "No, there is something different here, and I will stay. I will plant my feet beside you, and I will not be stirred." Aren't you so grateful that this is what God speaks to us every moment of every day? That he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Last week, I asked one of my sons what his favorite verse is, and he took me into the book of Revelation. I was a little floored, but it ended up being really good. This week, I asked my other son what his favorite verse was, and he took me into the book of Hebrews, and we spoke this over the team today. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19. Church, we have this hope as anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Church, I want to encourage you this morning that our God is present in your story. And it is his promises. Earlier in that chapter of Hebrews, it says that our God cannot lie. The promises that you find in the Bible, the same promises we spoke many of them at our online service as we entered into the new year, those promises are words that you can stand on. God is for you. It is his shield of faith that it requires you to strap on every day so that you are ready for any of the fiery arrows that the enemy would send your way. It is not our faith that stands in between the enemy and his arrows, but it is our God. Hallelujah. Ruth is not a Hebrew. Ruth has nothing to gain by remaining with this widow as she returns to her homeland. But church, as you finish the story of Ruth, what you'll see is that her one decision to remain close, to honor the relationship, to remain steadfast and secure in this relationship brings her into a marriage, brings her into a blessing, brings her into the story of our Savior where it never would have been. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that in our moments of crisis, may our choice be to remain close to the heart of Jesus. As complications continue to arise, may we do exactly as Ruth did and choose to stay planted and near to the cross. The resolution that you'll read later on today, if you want, of what it is that takes place in the heart and the story of Ruth would have never been something that she ever possibly could have dreamed of. But God. But God. Sophie, one of our baptism candidates, wrote in her story, "Actually didn't want to get baptized today." She said, "I wanted to get baptized weeks ago and like weeks ago before that and like months ago before that. But I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be baptized today because I get to get baptized with my cousin." Church, I want to encourage you today that the lives of your friends and your family that you're praying for, if we could do it, they would all get saved today, right? They would all know Jesus completely and fully. But can I tell you this one truth? On the day that they choose to acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you're not going to say, wow, God, but I wish it had been 40 years ago. What you will say is, thank you, God, that you moved today. Thank you, God, that their story will never be the same. Thank you, God, that the same change that I see at work in their life today is the same one that you brought into my life when I also chose to recognize you. Church, I want to encourage you that when it comes to the resolution, God's timing is the best timing. And so stay steadfast. Stand on the word of the Lord that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is our promise. And so in our own lives, may we live that out from this day forward. And for the lives of those that don't know him yet, may they see him fully as these weeks come to pass. Let's pray. God, I pray that each and every one of us would step boldly as our baptism candidates did today, as Liz did today in giving her testimony. God, may we step into spaces that may not be comfortable. God, may we step into spaces that may not be what we would even choose. But God, may we step into spaces that we know is right in your eyes. God, I pray that we would speak boldly as Ruth did to Naomi. God, I pray that we would speak boldly into every situation that would say, I don't know where this is going to go, but I know where it is that God wants me to stand, and that's right beside him. I know where it is that God wants me to go, and that's step in step and arm in arm with him. God, I'm just reminded today of your armor that you have called us to place on. Lord Jesus, may each person in this room that knows you, Lord God, I pray that they would not be tempted to put on the helmet of their salvation. But God, may we place on our heads the helmet of your salvation, God, that you have given to us. Lord, it's not our breastplate of righteousness that will stand in the midst of the attack, but it is the righteousness that you provide for us, Lord Jesus. God, it's not our sword, but it's your word, Lord Jesus, sharper than any two-edged sword that we take into battle with us. And Lord, let it not be our faith today, but the faith that you supply for us, God, as we trust in the things that you have said, as we believe in the things that you have done, and as we walk boldly into the unknown of where it is that you're calling us, knowing that you are there already. And so God, as we run our race, may we remember that you have already run it. You ran it perfectly. And so now, Lord Jesus, may we also follow you every step, every breath, every heartbeat, dedicated solely to you. Be with us today in your holy name. Amen.